Concerns are mounting that Hong Kong may postpone September's elections until next year, citing COVID, after a dozen opposition candidates have been disqualified from running, while several very young activists were also arrested this week. The opposition had hoped to win a majority in the Legislative Council after Beijing imposed a repressive national security law on the territory recently. But those still campaigning against the law fear more disqualifications are on the way. Kenneth Chan is a political scientist at the Hong Kong Baptist University and a former pro-democracy lawmaker who I spoke to a little earlier.
Mostly these are Democrats, and also many of them are well-known figures in local and international affairs as well. These are candidates who happen to disagree with Beijing and with the Carrie Lam government. And up to this moment, 12 candidates have been invalidated or disqualified. But we expect more to come. Obviously, this is an act of electoral manipulation, meaning Beijing would like to make sure that the strongest opponents will be removed at the very beginning of the electoral process so as to make sure that they will eventually control the Legislative Council elections.
There was a landslide for pro-democracy candidates in last year's district council elections, wasn't there?
It was a landslide victory for the Democrats in the November district council elections last year, indeed. And I suppose because of that, Beijing would very much like to make sure that this time around, they would not lose it again. And against this background, the Democrats are trying to organize and coordinate themselves better this time around as well. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a primary election for the Democrats to choose a dozen or so candidates for the Democratic camp. So obviously, Beijing could not stand that. Beijing obviously fears that a better coordinated pro-democracy movement would only be bad for the pro-Beijing camp in this election. Therefore, this time around, Beijing would like to disqualify as many pro-democracy candidates as possible.
And have these disqualifications happened under the controversial new national security law or by some other mechanism?
It started already back in 2016 when certain sort of confirmation mechanism was introduced, not really according to the law, strictly speaking. But then, since then, this mechanism has expanded with more and more sort of lines to be drawn by Beijing or the power that be, and bigger no-go areas. So this time around, of course, with the help of the national security law being imposed upon Hong Kong on the 30th of June this year, the so-called returning officers who otherwise are civil servants in Hong Kong, who must pledge loyalty and allegiance to Beijing, have stronger reason, so to speak, to screen out, to vet, and to select for the people even before the vote takes place, candidates. So, for example, Joshua Wong or a large number of more, even moderate civic party candidates have been barred from taking part in the election, saying that, oh, well, they went over to Washington, D.C. or to U.K. to lobby for international support. They openly disagreed with the national security law. So it looks like the right to dissent, the right to disagree, the right to oppose the power that be is being effectively removed thanks to this mechanism of disqualification.
And yet Carrie Lam and Beijing have said that the national security law will only affect a few dissenters. Terrorists is a term they've used. What effect will these disqualifications, and there have been some arrests of young protesters too, what effect does that have on the legitimacy of their claims about how the laws now work in Hong Kong?
I can say that Carrie Lam and Beijing, of course, are lying. It's not really a piece of legislation for a small number of so-called extreme activists. National security, as far as China is concerned, is actually a mechanism to shut people up, to lock people up, to intimidate people. Is really a very aggressive and abrasive mechanism wrapped up as a piece of legislation against the opposition, against whoever they dislike. So Carrie Lam has a very low approval rating, single digit. She has no credibility to say such things. So obviously, this piece of legislation has been used already on the 1st of July to arrest protesters. And of course, a couple of days ago, arresting four very young activists, literally Hong Kong's freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, academic freedom, and so on, are now under existential threat because of this national security law.
Now, you mentioned the very young individuals who were arrested this past week, and they are incredibly young. What sort of charges are they facing? What sentences could they get, and how is this going to test the judicial system?
I think the police that enforces these pieces of legislation, together with the newly established National Security Office in Hong Kong, set up by Beijing, would very much like to make them examples. It's more like a show trial. Of course, details are not completely, fully exposed or disclosed at this stage yet. That kept everybody guessing. This is part and partial of their psychological warfare against the people of Hong Kong, I suppose. So we don't have really much information to complete the story. It is entirely up to the government, up to the prosecution, who, of course, is their people, the government's people. And, of course, the worst scenario, the worst-case scenario could be that because the National People's Congress Standing Committee, which is in Beijing, which is not elected, which is part and parcel of the party state, would have the right to interpret the law. So the entire process of litigation may as well be very much a set game. So we don't. I personally don't have much faith in this mechanism at all. And eventually, if Beijing considers this case serious enough, these young people may as well be extradited to Beijing for trial in China.
So, assuming the Legislative Council elections in Hong Kong do go ahead as scheduled, what will be the point? What will they consist of? What legitimacy will they have?
I think all dictators would like to have some sort of electoral mandate. Russia, Putin would love it. Even in the good old days of the Cold War, Stalin, Khrushchev would like to have some form of election to tell the world that they do get the support of the people, and North Korea today as well. So in the case of Hong Kong, as long as Beijing still try to pretend that Hong Kong is business as usual, open to the world and so on, they still would love to have that kind of elections as a show. But, don't take it too seriously now, given all the various forms of manipulation we're observing. And also, most likely, they would like to postpone the election for 1 year amid COVID-19, giving more time for their candidates and the pro-Beijing parties to get better prepared. And, of course, to have the hundreds of thousands of voters who actually don't live in Hong Kong, but in Guangdong area, to feel more comfortable to come back to vote for their pro-Beijing candidates.
So you anticipate that delay will happen? They will proceed with the delay?
Well, I think it's increasingly likely now because just a week ago, there were only very patchy ideas coming from the pro-Beijing camp. But this idea since the last 10 days has been taken very seriously by Carrie Lam government. And there are news that she is about to tell Beijing her idea. And of course, that would mean stretching the constitution, stretching the existing laws in Hong Kong, regulating the elections, because the term of office of the Legislative Council is a fixed 4-year term. Unless Beijing suddenly, amend the basic law or somehow stretch it to such an extent in an interpretation to allow existing lawmakers to sit for longer than 4 years and for the new electoral members to come in later on, it cannot be done. The existing rules and regulations and mechanisms will be all changed thanks to, of course, what else? Political opportunism.
Kenneth Chan, you're speaking to me, a foreigner in a foreign country, about politics in Hong Kong in ways that clearly Beijing has now prohibited effectively. What risk do you and colleagues like yours face?
I really cannot tell. I think I rather live in truth and speak truth to power the best I can. I really don't like the game of self-censorship or asking the authorities what I can or cannot say to anyone. I think what's important for Hong Kong and for the rest of the world to look at Hong Kong today is that there are people still doing their best to continue living a normal life, although it's a new normal, to a lot of people under the national security law. But to expect Hong Kongers to just simply shut up, to expect Hong Kong to turn into another Xinjiang or Tibet overnight is really impossible, because there are a critical mass of Hong Kong people. A majority of Hong Kong people say would like to make sure that Hong Kong is different. Hong Kong should not become another coastal city of China.
Kenneth Chan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Pleasure is all mine.
Kenneth Chan is in Hong Kong.